There's a problem. Oh, maybe not. All right, we're live now. Sorry about that. Okay, why is it that Our Lady has all of these titles that are military? We're going to talk about things like Mary, exterminatrix of heresies. We're going to talk about Virgin Most Powerful. We're going to talk about her being terrible as an army set in array. And I'm joined with someone y'all all love, and that is Jesse Romero. Jesse, how are you?
I'm doing great, Taylor. Thanks for having me on. This is going to be a holy hour of power,
It's going
full
to be a holy
contact
hour of power.
apostolism.
We're going to talk about how you almost got whooped by some LA gang members in, what was it, 1992 LA riots.
91. I was almost beat to death.
Okay. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Sumerian theology, Sumeriology. And then there's another time that Our Lady saved your life as well. So we're going to get to all of that today. Before we do, of course, we're going to pray. We're going to begin with prayer. And we'll begin with the Our Father in Latin, the Pater Noster. As y'all know, Jesse Romero is a big advocate of Latin. Real quick, why, Jesse?
Because I've seen it in action, Taylor. I've helped out in healing and deliverances for several years, and I've seen priests pray over an energumen in Spanish, English, and Latin. And I can tell you, Latin is much more powerful. It has much more of effect. And even the energumen will tell you the same. When you ask them after the session, they'll say, "What was that?" The priest will say, "I prayed over you in Latin." He says, the demons didn't like that. It drove them right out.
Boom. There it is. All right. So we're going to do that right now. I'm going to pray the Our Father. Everybody can see it on the screen. And Jesse, do you want to pray the second half? Do you want to pick up at Panem Nostrum?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenia regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra.
Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in temptationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen.
Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Okay, let's jump into this. Gang beatdown. What's going on? Tell us the story about how Our Lady saved your life. I haven't heard this story. And all these people over the last 24 hours are like, oh, I've heard this story, Marshall. You're going to freak out. You got to hear this story. So let's hear the story.
All right. This is how Our Lady and the Rosary saved me from a beat down. Okay? Using a little bit of UFC language here. This is March 3rd, 1991. I was living in Lakeview Terrace, California. That's actually where Rodney King was arrested, Lakeview Terrace, California. I was working for the LA Sheriff's Department. I was off duty. I was at home. I was scheduled to be off for the next week. So I think I had the next 5 days off. I was awakened by police sirens right outside my window. I looked out my window, the second in the second story house that I had, and I can see that there's a bunch of LAPD patrol cars, Los Angeles Police Department patrol cars, in an intersection called Foothill Boulevard in Osborne. So I could see it's about five, six blocks from the house. So my own police instincts tell me, well, hey, they just caught a felony suspect. And I kind of was like, hey, I should go out there. I should, strap it on and go out there and help these guys. My wife says, go to bed, go to bed. Don't worry about it. Okay. You're off for the next week. So the next morning, went to, at breakfast, turned on the television. And then I heard, what did I hear? In fact, I got the printout right here. It says, last night, March 3rd, 1991, Rodney King and two passengers were driving on the Foothill Freeway and were apprehended by four members of the Los Angeles Police Department after a high-speed pursuit. King was tackled, tasered, and heavily beaten with clubs by the officers. The incident, without the first few minutes during which the police claim was King was violently resisting arrest, was captured on camcorder by Argentine George Holliday from his apartment in the vicinity. Okay. Everybody probably saw that video. I'm sure you did, Taylor. The police officers claimed that Rodney King was under the influence of PCP. That's a mind-altering drug that dulls the nervous system. It makes one impervious to pain. It's its animal tranquilizer. It gives people on the streets an incredible surge of strength. Rodney King, he led the Highway Patrol, the California Highway Patrol, on a high-speed car chase. And after driving through several red lights from Pasadena to Lakeview Terrace, which is about 20 minutes, he was pulled over in Lakeview Terrace. He ran out of gas, apparently. And Rodney King, he was already on parole from prison. Okay, he was not exactly coming from church or from a Bible study. He had a robbery conviction. He had past convictions for assault, battery, robbery. Again, he led the cops on a high-speed pursuit down for about 20 minutes on the freeway. And a lot of these guys, they don't want to get caught because they're afraid to go back to prison. And I mean, they'll fight and they'll do anything they can not to return to prison. So this footage was captured by this camcorder. It went viral. It was played on a loop on all the stations. And they were basically trying to demonize the police department. What people didn't see, because all officers, we saw the unedited version, is Rodney King, when he came out of the car, there was a couple, a husband and a wife, Highway Patrol. They were working together. Now, I don't know why you'd want your wife to be a cop, A, and B, is work together with her. So that's kind of weird, but be that as it may. It was a husband and wife team that chased and pulled him over. The wife was the first one to make contact with him. Rodney King grabbed her and threw her like a beach ball, flung her. Mm. So you're the husband. You just watch your wife get launched into the air. This is more than your partner. This is your wife. So yep. He took out his baton. The police department, the local police in that area took out their baton. And they're trained to, if a person is non-compliant and the person's already used aggression against an officer, they're called to use their baton, use appropriate measures until the person goes in a supine position and puts his hands on his back. So that's what was going on there. Now, I get a phone call by my watch commander who says, hey, your days off are canceled. Get to work right now. There's riots in different parts of the city. Buildings are burning. There's looting. And all days off are canceled. So they told me, come on in. You're going to work for 2 weeks. Pack up for 2 weeks. You're not going home. You're working 16 on and 8 off, 16 on, 8 off for 2 weeks until we quell this riot. It was bad. So my wife told me, she says, hey, just go straight to the freeway, jump on the freeway, because right there down the street where the arrest took place, there's a lot of unrest. There seems to be protesting and maybe a riot. So jump straight down the freeway and go straight to your precinct in East LA, which is about 20 minutes away, and don't drive down the surface streets. Well, did I listen? No. Mm-hmm. I kind of said, you know what? I want to drive down actually on the intersection where Rodney King was arrested, and I just want to pass by and just take a look for myself what's going on there before I jump on the freeway. So I didn't listen. Well, as I'm going down...
This is before social media. We couldn't just pull up our phones and find exactly what's always going on. You had TV and that was it.
No cell phones. I had no communication. I had no police radio. Remember, I'm off duty. I'm driving to work. So what I did, I don't know why I did this, but I did something that almost cost me my life. I put on my sheriff, my deputy sheriff uniform, and I just covered it with an LA windbreaker. That's all I had. So I told my wife, I'm going to jump on the freeway and go to work. Instead, I go down Foothill Boulevard towards Osborne Street, south on Foothill. And all of a sudden, I said, uh-oh, this ain't good, because I'm kind of curious. I want to pass by the intersection where the arrest went down, and I'm saying, oh, no. It's like I'm in a car wash. I'm going about 1 or 2 miles an hour. Now, I'm looking ahead about 2-3 blocks, and I'm saying, oh, no, this isn't good. I could see about 100 to 150 young black gang members that were wielding baseball bats. They had bricks. They had rocks in their hand, huge rocks and pipes. And I could see that they're stopping all the cars on Foothill Boulevard. It's like they're blocking access. And it's like, you know, the way police departments, we have like drunk driving checkpoints on the weekend. They had a gang member checkpoint. Okay. And they're looking inside each of the car. And I'll be honest with you, Taylor, they were racially profiling. If the driver wasn't black, they would break all the windows of the car. Other gang members would jump on the hood of the car, on the roof of the car. And once the windows were broken, these guys, these young criminals, they would punch the driver in a face, in their face with a rock in their hand as you sat there immobile and helpless. And these thugs didn't care how young or old the occupants of the car were. They were just shouting racial slurs. They were angry. And boy, oh boy, they were just using this as an opportunity to just work out their disordered passions, you know? Mm. So I'm seeing all this and I'm saying, why didn't I listen to Anita? Okay. So there's about 10 cars in front of me. I said, okay, I'll just put in reverse. Now there's about 20 cars behind me. We're all stuck. The cars to my right, they're also going like 1 mile an hour. So I couldn't veer off to the right. The cars to my left are also stuck. They created a traffic jam. And I'm realizing that I'm in danger. And I'm saying, I'm watching these guys. They're doing like a liturgy. They're doing the same thing to every car. They look inside. They racially profile. Then they, if you weren't black, they'd wrap around your car with baseball bats, break your windows, jump on the roof of your car, smash it in, cave it in, jump on the hood, cave it in, break your window, and then they'd hit you in the brick with, in the face with a brick. So I'm saying, if they smash my window and I get hit with 100 shards of glass, and they smash my window on this side, and my windbreaker, my flimsy LA Dodger windbreaker flies open, and they see a big star here, guess what's going to happen? They're going to physically pull me out of the car, and they're going to stomp me and kick me to death, okay? My wife's going to get a phone call, say, come and pick up your husband at the coroner's office. He's a tortilla. He's a pancake, okay? I can already see what's going to happen. I mean, this is the next few hours after the Rodney King arrest. The city's on fire. There's looting all over stores. It's anarchy. It's chaos. Now, I'm saying, why didn't I listen to my wife and jump on the freeway? And, you know, and I'm looking at these young guys. I'm saying, these guys are all a bunch of unconverted guys. They don't know Jesus. Yeah. And as a result of that, they're following the perverse passions of their heart. Their passions are wild. They're under the influence of anger, probably drugs. But then at the same time, the police side of me, the fighter side of me, I'm saying, you know what? Psalm 139 says that God knows the number of my days. I'm not going to stand here and get beat to death. I said, I've been trained to protect myself and protect others. And at this point, I started getting kind of an adrenaline rush. You know, it's like, it's in a locker room before you're about to compete in a contact sport. You got that adrenaline rush. And I'm already putting myself in the zone because I'm realizing, man, this is going to get ugly. This is awful. But at the same time, Taylor, I'm saying I can sense the presence of evil, not just these young thugs. I'm talking about evil spirits in this corner. And at that moment, I grabbed my rosary. I grabbed my rosary and I started praying my rosary from the heart, as St. Teresa of Lisieux says, pray from the heart. And then at the same time, I did grab my service revolver. I said, you know what? Faith and reason. You know, it's like two wings of a dove, you know?
As it says in the Psalms, make my fingers ready for war.
Yeah, Lord, prepare my hands for battle, my fingers for war. Psalm 144, verse 1. So I grabbed my gun. It had 16 rounds in there. I had 5 clips with 15 rounds and a box of 100 rounds. So I said, I'm already playing it out in my mind, but I'm praying the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace. I'm praying, but in my mind, I'm going into combat. And what I'm saying, because I'm watching what these guys do. They're not changing their tune. I'm saying, okay, as soon as this guy comes up to me and cocks back to break my window, my front window, and I'm going to get hit with 100 pieces of glass, I'm going to have to stop him. I'm going to have to shoot him and stop him. And then as they try to break my window around the car, I'm going to have to systematically stop them. And I'm going to have to provide cover fire so that I can get out of this deadly situation. And I turn on the radio. Remember, no cell phones, Taylor. I'm on my way to work, so I don't have my police radio. And then I hear on the radio, the local station says, there's no policemen on the street of Lakeview Terrace. All the policemen have been called back to the patrol station because the patrol station is being shot at by gang members. And so my wife had told me later on, she said that they showed a picture of Foothill Division. They had sandbags around the station, and they had all the officers behind the sandbags with AR-15s and shotguns, and gang members were driving by and shooting at the police station. There's no cops on the street. So I'm saying, I'm in this assembly line, this beat down car wash. Taylor, you never want to go to that car wash.
It's the fast food drive through for a quick beat down.
It is the most horrible situation to be in. Okay,
I mean, real quick, again, sorry to interrupt, but are you seeing like people getting beat down and like,
oh yeah,
and are they stopping the car? I mean, if you get hit in the face, that car's not going to move on. They're going to just stay there.
No, what they would do after they would give you the beat down, they would open up like this human wave of people. They would wave the car to go. The person would half-heartedly just drive. I mean, really beat up and hurt. And then they would close the wall of about 150 gang members, and then they would start the next one.
Okay.
All those people, by the way, I ended up finding it out later, they ended up driving themselves straight to the emergency, to the local hospital emergency. That day, they got about 200 drive-ins from that corner where I was at. They just drove themselves to the emergency because people were beat up very badly. So here I am, I'm moving 1-2 miles an hour, and I'm seeing that I'm stuck. I can't go to the right, can't go to the left, can't go behind. And I'm saying, Lord, I said, help me. And so I just, as I'm praying the rosary, I'm remembering that God could blind people. So I'm asking like Our Lady, blind them, through God's permissive will. And it reminds me now, in fact, there's a prayer now years later that I've seen. They're called the Exilium Christianorum prayers.
Ooh.
where we ask Our Lady to blind demons. And so it's funny. This is in 1991. I'm already asking her in my prayer, blind them. And so as I pull up, I'm one car in front of the checkpoint. And as I pull up, they wrap around the car. And Sarah here says, here it goes. I have my rosary 11 o'clock. I have my 9mm 5 o'clock, and I'm ready. The safety's off, and I'm playing everything out in my mind because I'm saying, I can't die. I said, the catechism talks about in 2263, the doctrine of self-defense.
Yes.
That we're allowed to use the proportionate force necessary to stop the attack of an unjust aggressor. So I'm saying, look, here's what's going to happen. If I do nothing... If I do absolutely nothing, so to speak, and just, you know, be a pacifist, they're going to break my windows, smash my window. My windbreaker is going to open up in all this commotion. They're going to see my badge. They're going to pull me out of the car. They're going to stomp me to death. Okay? My wife is going to get a phone call. Your husband has been kicked to death. Do you recognize his body? Come to the coroner's office. What a horrible thing to do. I said, yeah. That ain't happening. That's not an option. The second thing is, as they raise their bats and I assess the threat, I'm going to drop them. And I'm ready. And I know how to do it. And I'm quick with a gun. And I know how to load real fast. But then I'm also saying, here's what the Los Angeles Times is going to say. I mean, excuse me. Here's what the Left Angeles Times is going to say the next day.
Yeah.
They're going to say this. Off-duty deputy sheriff slaughters
right. A
dozen young black men on their way to go play basketball or something.
Yeah.
They're going to destroy me. I know that, Taylor. Yeah. I really know it. So I'm saying I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life, maybe on death row, The press is going to demonize me. But you know what? At least I'll be alive. At least, you know, I'll be alive to pray another day, so to speak. So there I am. I'm the next one in line. They wrap around me. Again, it's a protocol they already have. The guy in front, he's like the leader. He cocks his baseball bat back. He picks up his left leg just like he's gonna hit a ball. And he's about to come down, and I'm praying, Hail Mary, full of grace. And all of a sudden I'm saying, here it goes. Here goes nothing. So I raise. All of a sudden, he says, stop, stop. Hey, leave him alone. He's cool. He's cool. Leave the brother alone. He's cool. Leave the brother alone. I'm saying, cool? Cool. Leave the brother alone? He waves at all the guys. They open up the wall, and he goes, leave the brother alone. He's cool. He's cool. They let me go. I punch it right through. I look behind me. They close the wall, and the beatings continue. What happened? Why did they let me go? And 200 people were viciously attacked in that corner and drove themselves straight to the hospital emergency ward, and not me. Here's what I think that happened. Because he said, the young thug said, let him go. Let the brother go. He's cool. He's cool. Taylor, I believe that through Our Lady's intercession, by God's divine permission, in the seat of my car for 2 or 3 minutes, I looked black. That's what they saw. They saw a black guy in the car. That's what he said. He said, let him go. The brother's cool. The brother's cool. In some way, shape, or form, Our Lady, through our Lord's permission, morphed me, changed my features, and they let me go. Taylor, I have no other. This has been since 1991. I've thought about it because everybody there that was not black got the beat down, including Mexicans. And so,
yeah, I was going to ask you, help us understand the racial tension and demographics. Would they not have counted a Mexican dude as person of color back then?
No. I'll tell you why. Because it was because one of the officers, one of the main officers from LAPD that they demonized, he was Mexican. And I'm looking at everybody in front of me. I'm thinking maybe I'll get a pass because I'm Mexican. No, Taylor. The people in front of me, Asian, Mexican, Caucasian, they were getting beat down. So, no, I didn't get a pass. The only thing I could tell people is the Blessed Virgin Mary, she interceded. She heard the cry from my heart. And I'm alive today to talk about this and other stories that I'll share because Mary has demonstrated to me that she's my mother. Just like she told St. Juan Diego, am I not your mother? And Taylor, by the way, that's that story that I just mentioned. I did write it in a book of a lot of stories like that. It's called Catholics Wake Up. I don't know if you can see it right there.
See it. Yep. Catholics Wake Up.
Yeah, I put that story in there of that one and some other stories that of evangelization and the way that God's intervention in our lives and stuff. This stuff just doesn't happen in the Bible. This stuff is happening every day. Right. Our Lord and Our Lady are interceding and intervening, should I say, in people's lives. And they're doing things that we just kind of like dismiss as, oh, that was luck. No, it wasn't luck. That was the direct hand of God, or I'd be Jesse the Tortilla 7 feet under right now.
You know, I've been a Protestant before, and there's various Protestant groups, and a lot of them really do pray for miraculous outcomes. And and Catholics do too, but there's kind of this idea that, oh, God only helped people out in the Old Testament and maybe the apostles, but he's not in that business anymore. And that couldn't be any further from the truth.
I'll tell you one thing. Catholics have more stories of miracles than any other religion. By far. And it's funny, even Benny Hinn, the famous
televangelist,
Yeah, the famous prosperity gospel preacher on the TBN channel. I think about 2 years ago, he was interviewed and he was asked, they asked him, where do more miracles occur? Because, you know, they're always talking about God is doing miracles and stuff. Of course, they embellish, you know, most of what they say. But he said in an interview, he said, more miracles occur in the Catholic Church. Now, Protestants started going crazy. What? What are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor Benny? What are you saying? And he says, yeah, the reason more miracles occur in the Catholic Church is because they have the Eucharist.
No, he said so that. Benny Hinn.
Yes, go on the internet and type in and you'll wow. get this article. Something's happening there. He's starting to understand. He's starting to see that there's something different about the Catholic faith.
Yeah. I always, you know, I don't know much about Benny Hinn, but he always kind of wore this like priest collar. I was like, why is he doing that?
Because again,
maybe he's jealous of the Eucharist.
You got a point there. You got a point. So that's my story, Taylor. That's why I go around the country and I tell people, you got to pray the rosary. You got to pray the rosary. And I share this story and I get entire men's conference to start saying, man, just after I heard that story, I'm in. I'm in, dude. I've been praying it every single day since I heard you say that story at a men's conference.
You know what, Jesse? Speaking of this, at rosary and men's conferences, I once gave a couple talks at a men's conference. And one of my talks was, of course, guess what? Pray the rosary every day. That was a talk. And the power of the rosary and the importance of the rosary. So after I gave that talk, there was like a break or a lunch, and the organizer of the talk said, hey, Taylor, that was a great talk. The men loved it, but I've had, you know, 24 men come up to me and say, hey, that was a great talk. I want to do it, but I don't know how to pray the rosary. Can you maybe go back up after lunch and just do a brief intro on how to actually do it? Like what prayers go on which beads? And I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, we really need this. And I was like, you're serious? These guys don't know the road. Like, yes. This is okay, so this is, you know, you got your Creaster Catholics, Christmas, Easter, right, who go twice a year. And then you got guys who probably go every Sunday. And then you got guys who will go to a conference, Catholic conference. So this is kind of the upper percentile of Catholic guys.
Yeah.
And a great number of them don't even know what prayers go on the beads.
Well, Taylor, there's no excuse now because the rosary's in every iPhone app. You can get it.
I know.
So there's absolutely no excuse now. It's now they have it for dummies. And so, yeah, I see a lot of guys pulling out their phones now and doing it. Hey, that's what it takes. So you memorize. It'll take you a week to memorize the mysteries and stuff.
Yep. Okay, so you're talking about Our Lady, and she's, you know, you got a 9mm in one hand. You got the rosary in the other.
Faith and reason.
And a lot of people are going to be offended by that. But when we read the pages of sacred scripture and we look at the history of Our Lady's intervention in the church has never hesitated to give these military titles to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, and of course, St. Louis de Montfort spoke this way about Our Lady. Can you talk about Our Lady as warrior, Our Lady as leading an army?
In fact, True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, on page 7, I just pulled it up. Here's what it says. It says, lastly, Mary must become as terrible as an army in battle array to the devil and his followers, especially in these latter times. St. Louis de Montfort is cutting and pasting that phrase, terrible as an army in battle array, that's from the Old Testament. That's from the I think it's Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs. And so St. Louis de Montfort, he also says on page 41 about Our Lady, he says, to ensure their safety from the hawk and vulture, she becomes their escort, surrounding them, that's us, as an army in battle array. So St. Louis de Montfort is saying that she's surrounding us from hawks and vultures. And she's surrounding us as an army in battle array. And it says, St. Louis says, could anyone surrounded by a well-ordered army of, say, 100,000 men fear his enemies? No. And still less would a faithful servant of Mary. protected on all sides by her imperial forces, fear her enemy. I saw this come to life in 1991.
Yes.
I was surrounded, Taylor, by bad guys, okay? Yep. What St. Louis de Montfort calls hawks and vultures. And guess what? St. Louis de Montfort calls Mary, beloved mother of chosen souls, shelters them under her protecting wings as a hen does her chicks. That's exactly what happened to me. That's military language. You know, especially when you look at some of the titles of Our Lady, the Litany of Our Lady, you see that a lot of these titles, without a doubt, you know, come from, you know, military symbolism. One of the titles that, you know, I want to talk about a little bit later is Virgin Most Powerful. Mm. And in fact, my friend Terry Barber and myself, we started a small little internet radio station called Virgin Most Powerful. And when both of us were on mainstream Catholic radio, but we were dismissed. They didn't tell us why, but you know, I could kind of guess why.
Yep. What year was that? What year did this happen?
About 2 years ago. Yeah, about
2017.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people don't know that 2016 began the purge, I'm now calling it. All of us Catholic people who were, you know, at the conferences and on radio and Catholic Answers, in 2016, a big purge happened. We were no longer invited. And I think it was really, how did you respond to Amoris Laetitia of Francis? Anyone who showed any criticism of that, purged. We were off the air, off the conferences, no longer getting your book published. We were punished. And I think you're one of them, Jesse.
Well, that makes sense, because yeah, it's about 2.5 years ago. Yep. When we were...
It was 16 is when I noticed it.
It was, we said, see ya.
Yep.
Why? Don't have to tell you. We just, you're not the right fit for our radio.
You're no longer part of our group anymore. Sorry, forgot to tell you, but you're not part of it. Why? So, just not.
Yeah, so I do a daily podcast and our internet radio show. It's called Virgin Most Powerful. I do a show from Monday through Friday. And Terry Barber and myself were asking ourselves, well, what should we call this little apostolate that we want to start, this little internet media apostolate? And I said, you know what? I've talked to Father Ripperger before, and he says that the title that's most powerful to drive out the demonic from an energumen is Virgo Potens, Virgin Most Powerful. I said, let's use that title, because I have a feeling that we got thrown out. There's something diabolical behind this purge you're talking about, you know, that's happening in the church. Good voices are being suppressed. I'm saying maybe we should call this internet apostolate Virgin Most Powerful, because right now we need her powerful intercession more than any other time. And by the way, that's one of the titles in the Litany of Loretto as well. You know, she has a lot of sweet titles and humble titles, but I like that one. And even St. Pius X, he said about that title, he said this: let the storm rage and the sky darken, not for that shall we be dismayed. If we trust as we should in Mary, we shall recognize in her the Virgin Most Powerful, who with virginal foot did crush the head of the serpent. So when Father Ripperger and St. Pius X talk about this title, you know, in those terms, I told Terry, hey, this is what we're going to call our little internet apostolate.
Awesome. Love it. And tell us about Virgin Most Powerful Father Ripperger who said that that's when demons start to crawl more?
He says that title has a very coercive, the way he describes it, it has a very coercive power to drive out the diabolical. God uses that title in a very powerful way during sessions. And again, so that's, and also another title that's very powerful in the hands of an exorcist is Saint Joseph, Terror of Demons.
That's another
power that has coercive power to drive out a demon, because of their relationship, because of Our Lady's relationship and Saint Joseph's relationship to Jesus. That's why their names and under those certain titles have very strong coercive power to drive out the diabolical. And we got the diabolical right in our church right now. It's inside. Yeah. It's embedded in the church right now.
Inside the walls of the Vatican, we might even say.
Correct.
You know, Jesse, at night when I pray the binding prayers over my wife and my kids, I always invoke the blood of Jesus and the prayers of St. Joseph, because he's the terror of demons.
Yeah, same here. We're both on the same channel.
Both churched up, as you say.
Yeah, churched up and prayed up. and let me tell you something. I'll tell you why we should be praying the rosary, especially right now, because the Blessed Mother's gathering an army right now. I think right now we're in the days that St. Paul calls, the days are evil. He says it in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, I think it's chapter 5, the days are evil. And especially right now, where we have some of the people in the highest places, the Vatican, USCCB, they're compromised. And we're scratching our heads saying, what's going on here? St. Louis de Montfort said this. He said this in the 18th century. He said, the power of Mary over all devils will be particularly outstanding in the last period. So if you want to know you're part of Mary's army, she's gathering her army right now. Pray the rosary every day.
Yes.
St. Louis de Montfort says, Mary will extend the kingdom of Christ over all idolaters. Ahem, Pachamama, idolaters. Mm-hmm. Over all idolaters and Muslims. And there will be a glorious period when Mary is ruler and queen of hearts.
Amen.
She's even going to have some type of effect on the conversion of Islam. How? We don't know. But she plays even an important role in their conversion.
Yeah. Which makes sense. And, you know, I think it was Fulton Sheen who said, you know, because Our Lady of Fatima is I believe it's a daughter of Muhammad.
One of his daughters,
yes,
correct.
Yes, and that perhaps Our Lady of Fatima will be part of the conversion of the Muhammadan people.
Amen.
I hope so.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yep. All right, now what about other great saints like John Bosco, St. Alphonsus Liguori, St. Bernard? I mean, these guys also bring in this sort of virgin most powerful military language about the Blessed Mother.
Yeah, there's several saints in Catholicism. All the saints were Christ-centered without a doubt, but they also had deep devotion to Our Lady. And you can see, for example, St. John Bosco. If people are wondering, okay, how do I armor up? How do I get churched up? Well, I'll tell you, as Catholics, St. John Bosco had a vision. And he said that at the end of time, you know, towards the second coming of Christ, if you will, he says that the only people that will be saved are those people that, because he saw a vision of two pillars coming from the ocean floor. The Catholic Church is like a great ship being attacked by these smaller ships. And St. John Bosco said that this one pedestal that came off from the ocean floor, it had the Eucharist, huge. And St. John Bosco said that he saw the Pope at the helm. The Pope threw a chain around the pedestal, and he anchored the church to the Eucharist. And then he says that he saw another pedestal come from the ocean floor, and that pedestal had Our Lady. She was on top of this pedestal. And the Pope threw a chain or a rope, and it wrapped around this pedestal. St. John Bosco said the only Catholics that will be saved and survive the tribulation and the great persecution at the end of time before the second coming of Christ and when the Antichrist comes will be those Catholics whose lives are anchored to the Eucharist. They're Eucharistic, and those lives that are, they're anchored to true devotion to Mary. And even again, you know, St. Alphonsus Liguori, one of the titles that he would invoke are Mary. One of the titles that he would invoke that was one of his favorite titles was Mary, Help of Christians. Mm-hmm. St. Bernard, he was also known to say that Mary is an invincible warrior in the defense of her servants. St. John Damascene said that Mary prepares and always is always ready to help Christians by which they are all delivered from dangers. So that's another title that's very powerful, Auxilium Christianorum, Help of Christians. And again, that's those are those prayers that a team of exorcists wrote for Catholics, for lay people to pray every day so that we can bind demons and keep our families protected.
Amen. Amen. Let's go into exorcisms. I mean, I think, you know, Father Ripperger and Father Gabriel Amorth and others have talked about Our Lady. I've heard Father Ripperger talk about Our Lady. There's moments in exorcisms. These are church approved. This is following the approved books. This is not just, you know, people making up stuff. These are trained exorcists following the rite of exorcism. There's times when Our Lady shows up, they say.
Absolutely. And Father Ripperger says that where Our Lady received her power, her intercessory power, he says, where she became the Virgin Most Powerful, Our Lady of Sorrows, he says it was at the foot of the cross. He goes, this is the spiritual warfare at its absolute height. The foot of the cross, that's the place in which the dominion and the power of Satan was destroyed. And guess who's standing there? Our Lady. So Father Ripperger says that this is where she received the power to crush his head. Mm. Because she was standing at the foot of the cross. And this is now one of the reasons why she became the queen of heaven and earth. Because our Lord at the foot of the cross gave her perfect coercive power over demons. So it's God's will now that Mary has received this capacity to drive out the diabolical. And Father Ripperger and others say she doesn't really have to say anything. All she does is show up. That's all she does. And Father Amorth, he says, he was quite open about a lot of sessions that he was involved in. He said that one day during the session, they asked the demon during an interrogation, they asked him, what prayer hurts you the most? And the demon said, every Hail Mary is like a blow on my head. If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end. Taylor, I've seen it also, not like these guys have hundreds. I've probably, you know, seen it probably about 30 times, you know, in helping out priests. In this one case I mentioned to you in a show before, there's the two priests were praying over an energumen. For those that are wondering what's just talking about, that means that's what St. Thomas Aquinas would call the possessed. They're called energumens. So I was there as a prayer support, holding down the person at the behest of the priest. Give me holy water, hold the book, do this, do that. Clean up the vomit, whatever the priest tells you to do. Seriously, if they start barfing and stuff, you get a bag and stuff and, you know, wipe their mouth out. Let's continue. So they're praying over this energumen, two priests, English and Spanish. And there's some effect. And we're like in the third hour and stuff. Everybody's exhausted. And this energumen was very, very powerful, had preternatural strength and was took five or six guys to hold her down for 3 hours. The priests started saying, they looked at each other, and you can kind of see that, like, they're sweating, beads of sweat are coming down their forehead, and they're saying, what do we do? I don't know. Let's pray the rosary. Let's pray it in Latin. Okay. They started praying the rosary in Latin. They said, if anybody knows the rosary in Latin, go ahead and join us, but say it very softly under your breath. So I started praying it, the rosary in Latin. Within about one minute, I remember my wife was praying with the energumen's mom in front of the Blessed Sacrament. My wife looked up and said, she's here. She's here. She's looking up. Everybody cut. The priest said, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Ave Maria, gracia plena. My wife said, she's here. Mary's here. All of a sudden, the energumen started writhing in pain for about a minute, like in a massive convulsion, just looked like a grand mal seizure. And was all kinds of guttural sounds were coming out of her voice. And within about 60 seconds of us praying the Hail Marys in Latin, she went completely limp, and she was completely restored back to her normal features. Her eyes came back, because her eyes were rolled back for about 3 hours. She swelled up. She got about 100 pounds bigger, like just right in front of our face. And so I've seen this as well. I've seen the power. And the reason that our Lord uses Our Lady so powerfully is because of the Genesis 3:15 promise. Yep. It's right in Scripture. And I've even heard you say, Taylor, that in the Genesis 3:15 promise, that probably according to Jewish rabbis or Jewish exegetes, the preferred translation for the Jews is she.
Yeah, she will crush.
She shall, just like the Douay Rheims Bible says.
Exactly, in the Vulgate.
And the Vulgate says it. The more modern Bibles, the NAB and the RSV, say he. Now, there's not a conflict here, because the way I would, obviously you'd probably say the same thing, is that this doesn't invalidate Our Lady in the modern Bibles, because it's through her cooperation in the incarnation that Christ, the Son of God, who from the cross directly crushes the head of the serpent, but he became her seed. So Mary did crush the head of the serpent through Jesus.
That's right.
So there's really no conflict, because the way the serpent was struck at by Christ on the cross, the serpent was indirectly struck by Our Lady, because she cooperated in the entire incarnation, which made this possible.
That's right. Or you can ask someone, okay, well, absolutely, it was the divine Savior who defeated Satan. But where did he get his foot?
Oh, wow.
From Mary. He got his foot from Mary, right?
I like
There's
that.
Actually a really cool painting. I need to find it. And it has the serpent, and Mary has her foot on the head of the serpent, and then Jesus has his foot on top of Mary's foot. They're kind of doing a tag team, double foot.
Wow.
Yeah. I like that.
That's good theology.
Yeah, it's great theology.
You know, Taylor, also, the Old Testament, through typology, I've pointed this out to Protestants, but the careful reader of Scripture is going to see that there's several instances of women in the Old Testament that were given power to crush the head of wicked men.
Yes.
All of this is a preparation for the final perfect woman who's full of grace, who will crush the head and continues to crush the head of the most wicked of all men, which is Satan. You know, you got in the book of Judges, you got Jael, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wife of Heber. It says that she drove the peg through the temple of this Canaanite general, this wicked Canaanite general called Sisera. It's in Judges 4:21. It says it also in Judges 5:24. Also, there's another unknown woman in Judges 9:53. It doesn't give her name. It says a certain woman cast the upper part of a millstone down on Abimelech's head, and it fractured his skull. So who's Abimelech? He's a wicked king in the Old Testament. He's one of the sons of Gideon by way of a Canaanite concubine, and he was attacking the city of Thebez, and he had his head crushed by a millstone dropping from above by an unknown Jewish woman. Now, this was humiliating for a king during battle to get killed by a woman. And then you have another story, the book of Judith,
yep.
Where, Judith is a Jewish, it says in Judith chapter 13, you can read the story. She was a Jewish heroine and a widow. She lived at a time when the Assyrians had captured the Israelites. And in order to protect her people, she enticed the wicked king Holofernes one night to bed, and she killed him in his sleep. And so we see all kinds of evidence in the Old Testament.
She cut his head off.
Yeah. So, again, all this is in preparation for the perfect woman who will have perfect power over the most wicked person in the cosmos, and that's Mary and Satan.
Yep. And, you know, in the old traditional Latin Mass, the readings for Judith are used in the prayers and the antiphons and readings of Our Lady. Traditionally, the church associated Judith cutting off the head of Holofernes as Marian, as a type of Our Lady. So there again, we see this. And if you read Judith, it's really interesting. At the beginning of it, all the Jewish warriors are sort of afraid. They're not doing anything. And Judith goes into their camp, cuts the guy's head off, brings him back. She's like, here, I did it for you. Done. Love it. It's an amazing story.
Wow. And Taylor, you know, in that verse, the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10, there's, you know, it obviously depicts the Shulamite, but there's three popes that have exegeted that passage, that terrible as an army set in array. Pope Pius XII has exegeted that passage as applying to the Virgin Mary because of her sinless glory and because her presence and her name is terrifying to the demonic forces. But even John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, I have found that they, in homilies, have exegeted the Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10, in the same matter as applying to Mary.
Yep. And if you read, this is the traditional little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. When you pray Nones, the ninth hour, you will read that over and over. It's that Latin verse is right there as you move along through the prayers. And so, you know, this is old. I mean,
the tradition of the church.
Yeah. And so you would pray this every single day. I mean, it says, Terribilis ut castrorum acies ordinata, terrible as an army set in array.
Amen.
In the liturgy, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so you got another big story. What you got? Lay it on us.
Lay it on us. All right. This is a shorter story.
Okay.
Okay. So this is 1970. I'm 9 years old. We're taking a road trip. The Romero family's taking a road trip from where I was born and raised, where we lived at, the city of San Fernando, California. That's one of the 21 mission cities in California. It's a suburb of Los Angeles. It's about 15 minutes north of downtown LA. Okay, so 1970, taking a road trip. My three brothers, my one sister, we're in a 1966 Chevy Impala. Okay, the trunk is full of luggage. We even tied all kinds of luggage to the roof with twine, and we're driving over to my mom and dad's pueblo where they were born. It's pretty close to Mexico City. It's in the state of Michoacán. It's a little pueblo. Now it's a big city now. It's called Puruandiro. So my mom and dad wanted to show us where they were born and raised, where they met. Okay. So it's a 3-day drive. My dad's driving about 12 hours a day. We're excited. Road trip. You know, I mean, four of us were in the back seat. My mom had my baby brother in her arms, and you know, we're talking and stuff, and we're just having a good time. So we're on our third day. We're pretty close now. We're probably about 3 hours away from their little town called Puruandiro, which is deep in Mexico. It's next to Mexico City. All of a sudden, my brother Javier, he's a little bit older than me, about a year and a half older, he becomes real ill from food poisoning. He's got Montezuma's revenge. Okay, he can't keep anything in. It's coming out of both ends. Okay, something, either the water or the food didn't sit well. And so he's shaking like a leaf in the back. He's all pale. My mom's worried, and she's telling my dad. She says, honey, we got to stop and take him to the hospital immediately. He's going to die. My dad says, we're about 3 hours away. I can make it. I can make it. We're about 3 hours away.
Sounds like a dad.
Yeah. To Puruandiro. I know where the hospital is at in our hometown. I don't know where we're at right now. Okay. I don't know. We're in the desert. I don't know where we're at. Remember, pre-cell phones, pre-GPS, none of that stuff. And I overheard my daddy told my mom that he didn't want to stop here in the desert in Michoacán. He goes, I don't know where we're at. A, B, he says, there's a lot of robbers here. There's a lot of criminals and a lot of thugs in the deserts of Michoacán. And they prey on non-locals. They prey on tourists. Okay. And in fact, my dad had just gassed up about 3 hours before, and they told him, don't stop from here to your pueblo in Puruan. Don't stop. There's a lot of bad people in between here and your pueblo, Puruandiro. So my dad is saying, we're not going to stop, and we're just going to trust. We're going to trust in God. Well, all of a sudden, my dad, as we're driving, he goes over these railroad tracks, and the 1966 Impala, which is about 4 inches off the ground, it gets stuck on the railroad tracks, stuck completely. And my dad is saying, I gotta do something. He gets off the car. He's trying to, he look under, he sees this thing is, he tells us all get off the car. We're all pushing, trying to dislodge it, nothing. My dad grabs a flashlight. He tells my mom, he says, take the kids about 100 feet away. Okay, I'm going to go stop the train. I'm saying, stop the train? I'm 9 years old, okay? I know a man can't stop a train. What is this? So my mom takes us, and we walk about 100 feet away from the car. My dad starts running down the railroad tracks with a flashlight. We could see a train about 2 miles away. We could see the big lights, and we could see the horn blowing. Now, we're about, the five of us went with my mom about 100 feet from the car, and my mom takes out a rosary and she starts praying, okay? She's looking up. All five, we're literally holding onto her dress and we're praying in Spanish. Dios te salve Maria, we're praying. And I could see she's praying. I could see in faith, the depth of her faith, that she knew that Our Lady was going to tarry in this moment. I'm looking at my dad. My dad's running and he's yelling in Spanish, stop the train, stop my car, my family, stop the train. Now, I'm looking around us as we're praying, and I could see these beady eyeballs of these dogs, like probably about 50 yards around us, probably about a dozen dogs around us. And I'm looking and I'm saying, wow, there's a lot of dogs out in the desert. My sister, who was the oldest, she said, they're not dogs, they're wolves. So we're in the desert, our car's stuck in the railroad tracks. There's about a dozen wolves surrounding our family, about 50 yards away. We're in cartel country. My dad is running down the railroad tracks.
Dad's running toward the train.
Because the car is completely stuck. And I know, I'm 9 years old, but I know a man can't stop a train. My dad, I can hear him yelling, stop the train, my car, my family. All of a sudden, as we're praying the rosary, completely helpless, we're just storming heaven with prayer at this point. I know that we're in a dangerous situation. I see the train getting closer, closer, the horns getting louder and louder, and the train lights keep getting bigger and bigger. As they got closer to our car that was stuck on the railroad track, you know, I'm looking at my mom and we're all praying, deep faith. You know, Dios te salve Maria, llena eres de gracia, Señor es contigo. I can see the hope and the faith in my mom and the trust in God and Our Lady's protection. And all of us were praying. We're praying out of fear, okay? I have imperfect contrition. I'm praying out of fear, okay? I knew that we're in a bad predicament. So the train's about a mile away, and I'm saying this doesn't look good. All of a sudden, I could see the steel wheels from the train. They start screeching, and there's sparks and there's fire shooting from the steel wheels. And the train tracks, and it looked like they put on the brakes. It looked like the train is slowing down. We could see fire coming out of all the wheels. It's about 100 cars. It's got about 6 engines. It's a huge train. So the train is screeching, and we're praying and praying and watching it slow down. My dad's running alongside it. Stop, my family, stop the train, my car. The car comes to a complete halt. Less than a foot from my dad's Chevy Impala. We're looking up at the train. It's a steel monster with 100 cars. It stops less than a foot from the car. About 6 engineers jumped out of the train, bunch of young guys, and they got off the train, and they said. You're in Spanish. They're saying, you're lucky. You're lucky. They told my dad, we never stopped the train. The guy said, I've been driving this train for 20 years. I've plowed through 50 cars. He says, we have a policy not to stop the train because the cartels put the cars on the train track to stop the train. Then they come to rob us. So there's a policy that we barrel through the trains. We don't through the cars. We don't stop them. But this the main engineer told my dad and my mom, we're all listening. He says, I don't know why I did this. I've been doing this for 20 years. I never stopped the train, but something moved me in my heart to make an exception this one time and to stop the train.
Wow.
And so our car was spared destruction because something moved in this guy's heart who's never stopped the train in 20 years. He admits he's plowed through 50 cars, splits them in half, they explode. But something in his heart moved him to stop it for this one instance alone. Because again, this area is just replete with gang members and with thugs and with bad people in the desert. So these six young guys, my dad got on the car, and between them and my dad, they're able to get the car over the railroad tracks. We jump back in. We headed towards Puro Andiro. And I remember my mom says, now we're going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. And I can tell you, I'm 9 years old. That was my first experience with the rosary or the power of the rosary, where I said, you know what? This isn't just something that old people, say that go to the Legion of Mary. This is Mary who's alive and well and listens to her sons and daughters and has the power to move in our lives and show herself a mother to us. So once again, that instance right there reminds me of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Am I not your mother? By the way, Taylor, that story that I just read, that I just mentioned, I wrote it in this book. It's called Mama's Boy. It's a book, it's called Mama's Boy, where I write all the theology on Mary and spiritual warfare, why the devil's afraid of Mary. It's a short, pithy book where I put all the tradition and scripture, why she has coercive power over Satan. And that story is in this book.
That's an amazing story. And I like how you call it Our Lady has coercive power.
That's what Father Ripperger says. Yeah. He doesn't say direct power. Okay, because the power flows. It's again, St. Louis de Montfort says she's the neck of the mystical body. Sure. So whatever power flows, it flows from the head, Jesus, through the neck, Mary, to us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. St. Bernard of Clairvaux calls her the mystical channel of grace, or the mystical aqueduct of grace. So she's carrying the water, the grace, to the city.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ave Maria.
Ave yes. Maria. Well, this has been great. I wish we had more time. I got to shut this down a little bit earlier today.
Hey, I'm just happy to be on, Taylor. Anytime you want me on for some good conversation, chew the fat.
Man, it's some good stories, man. It's good stories. And you know what I like about that last story is, it shows a family perfectly ordered. What is Dad doing? He's doing the Saint Joseph thing. I'm going to run down the track with my flashlight and stop this train. Like Superman. Superman can stop a train. You know? That's what a dad does for his family. And then the mom, she's huddled there with the kids, protecting them. You got wolves all around. And what's she doing?
Literally, there was wolves.
Yeah. She's got the beads out. And she's praying the rosary and protecting the kids and guiding the kids to the supernatural solution. Praying for Dad, praying for the kids, praying against the wolves, the train. I mean, there's so much going on there. And you see that the properly ordered Catholic family praying the rosary. I mean, this will preach, as we say in Texas.
Amen.
You got the wolves. You got all this stuff happening. And then Our Lady shows up and protects it all and brings it all to a perfection. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, Taylor, these are the two recurring stories that I share with men. And women also, to get them fired up about praying the rosary, to see the importance of praying the rosary, and then also the story of what I've seen with my own eyes, and that one in Ergamon, what the Latin Hail Marys did in the third hour and brought full healing. So, yeah, I share these stories for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls.
Amen. All right, well, everybody check out those two books. We've got Mama's Boy. What's the other one?
Catholics, Mama's Boy. And Catholics Wake Up.
All right, check them out. And then we've done two videos already before that were big hits, over 100,000 each, when we talked about your book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That's a great book. I've read it. Love it. Love it. Highly recommend. He recounts some really, when it talks about exorcism and the possessed, and then the power of God and the power of Our Lady and the rosary, man. That book is awesome. So pick up some books. Christmas is on its way. Get some Jesse Romero books. We'll close up with prayer. Before I do, everybody, please like this video. That tells YouTube it's a good video and it shows it to other people. Please subscribe to this channel. Subscribe over at Virgin Most Powerful channel. That's where Jesse does his, it's daily, right? Every day.
Yeah, Monday through Friday, an hour show, yeah.
I've been on there. You can go see me on that show with Jesse. So subscribe over at Virgin Most Powerful. Anything else you want to add, Jesse?
Yeah. Hey, if anybody wants to go to Poland with me, I'm doing a Poland trip May 13th to the May 22nd. If you want to go to Poland with me, go to my website, download this flyer. I'd love for you to be hang out with you for 9 days, and I'll share all of these stories. And we're going to visit all the tombs of the saints in Poland. Poland, they call it Catholic Disneyland because I've been told by nuns and priests that, I mean, at 12 noon, people just stop and just do the Angelus. And Poland's the only country that the government has proclaimed Jesus as King of Poland 3 years ago.
That's correct.
And Our Lady was proclaimed Queen of Poland, Our Lady of Częstochowa, like some 300 years ago. So this is the only country on planet Earth that is officially, the government has installed Jesus as King and Queen of Poland.
So awesome. That's why I tell my kids, hey, let's not go to college. I'm just going to send you to Poland, go marry Polish people. Polish Catholics. I want you to find beautiful, wholesome, good Polish people. Marry them. Have some grandkids for me. They can speak Polish. I don't mind as long as they're Catholic.
Amen.
So, all right. Well, we're going to close up and we're going to pray the Ave Maria in Latin. In Latin. I'm encouraging everyone, you all Advent. If you haven't been praying the rosary every day, Advent is the time to start. Start now. Pray the rosary every day. As I say, if you're not praying the rosary, you're not on the team. You're not part of the solution if you're not praying the rosary. Our Lady came down in 1917 and said, pray the rosary daily. All right. Hail Mary. Here we go. Nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto.
Sic era in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Virgo potens ora pro nobis. All right, Jesse, thanks for being on the show. Everybody, thanks so much. Please subscribe. Please like the video. Thanks for all your support on Patreon at patreon.com/Dr. Taylor Marshall. We'll see you in videos that come. And Jesse, definitely going to have you back. People love you. And you inspire me. And you just remind us that we are in a supernatural faith, supernatural religion. Right? It's not just pushing the beads. It's praying the Hail Marys, and it's meditating on the mysteries. This is what's powerful. So Jesse, thanks so much. God bless you.
You got it. God bless you, Taylor.
All right. Happy Advent. If I don't talk to you, Merry Christmas till then.
Same. God bless.
All right. Godspeed. Bye.